Hello and thank you for listening to Shofar Armana's Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message and that it will inspire you in your walk with God.
Yes, Father, that is why we're here. We are here today because you are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You are the one who not just promises, you're the one who fulfills. You are faithful. Nothing is impossible for you. You are a miracle worker. You are a promise keeper. You are the light in the darkness. Where you shine, darkness has to flee. Lord, when you come into our lives, darkness flees. And Lord, we invite you in our lives, Lord. We invite you to come in and to establish yourself in us. That darkness may flee, Lord, that you may bring light and life and life. That you may restore and heal. That you may come and change us to become more like your Son. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Since I've been following Jesus, I've never cried so much. I never understood tears of joy and of compassion and sorrow as much as I do as I follow him. But we're excited about you, Elvins. We're very excited. This morning, I want to continue with the parable of the sower in Matthew 13. From verse 3, then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, the sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell on the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them, and some seed fell on stony places, where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprung up, because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell on good ground, and it yielded a crop, some 100, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Last week we spoke about this last verse, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. You know, a teachable and hearing heart has to be present for the truth of the kingdom to take root. That teachable, hearing, humble heart that receives the word. It's not the hearing, but it's the teachability that is necessary for this truth to grow, but also to produce fruit in us. And that's why Jesus says, he has ears to hear, let him hear. Jesus speaks to the crowd in parables, but to his disciples he gives the interpretation. It's not to the casual crowd, but to the committed followers that Jesus speaks the mystery, declares it, breaks it open, reveals it. And today, we're going to hear this interpretation of this parable. So he has ears to hear, let him hear. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank you that we can come here and know that only you have the words of eternal life. God, we pray, Holy Spirit, that you will open our ears to hear, that you will prepare our hearts to be good soil, that it will not only be received in us, but it will grow in us, and it will yield a harvest through us. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. So therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the wicked one comes and snatches away that what was sown in his heart. This is he who received the seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on the stony place, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation and persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who received the seed amongst the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who received the seed on good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, and who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100, some 60, and some 30-fold. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. It's Jesus speaking to us about the kingdom. It's fascinating if you meditate upon the interpretation of this parable. Jesus said the seed of the kingdom is the word of God. Just think about that for a moment. The seed of the kingdom of God is the word. This is the seed of the kingdom. The seed of the kingdom is the word of God. That's the parable. The sower went out to sow the seed of the kingdom. Jesus interprets, what is the seed? What is this seed of the kingdom? He says, it's my word. The word is the seed of the kingdom. I want you just to close your eyes for a moment. And I want you to think about this. If this is the only thing that you remember, is that the seed of the kingdom is the word of God. And I want you to think about this for a moment. The seed, I want you to see it. I want you to, God, I pray that you'll open our spiritual eyes to see that the seed of your kingdom is your word. The seed of the kingdom of God is the word. The Jews was expecting a sudden, dynamic, apocalyptic kingdom that will come suddenly and destroy all evil and rid them of all their enemies. They had this expectation that the kingdom of God will be great. It will be awesome. It will be dynamic, sudden, apocalyptic. It will be now and forever, and everything will change in an instant. All the enemies of Israel will be destroyed. All evil will disappear, for the kingdom has come. That was their understanding. That was their expectation. Yeah, in Luke 17, Jesus speaks to the Pharisees. He says, and now when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered and said to them, the kingdom of God does not come with observation. Nor will they say, see here or see there, for the kingdom of God is within you. It was not how they saw it. It's not how they understood it. It's not what they wanted. It's not what they desired. The Jews could not conceive nor relate to the servanthood type kingdom that was coming humbly and quietly to invade humanity. This is not the kingdom they wanted. This is not what they expected. So they couldn't receive it. They couldn't relate to it. They couldn't understand this kingdom that Jesus was talking about. The word of God is the seed of the kingdom. And you know what? It's so powerful. A seed is something small and insignificant, isn't it? I mean, if we go through nature and we see the huge trees and plants. You know, I grew up in the rainforest, in the Titsikamma, and you know, I love going into the mountains on my own, walking through these massive yellowwood trees and stinkwood trees and tree ferns. And a seed in the midst of a forest is so insignificant. It is so small and it looks as if it's harmless. And Jesus talks about the kingdom, and he talks about the seed of the kingdom. There where it starts, where everything begins. It's the word. It's from this that my kingdom grows. And he says, the seed of the kingdom is my word. So powerful. Jesus tells another parable to illustrate this. In the same chapter, he goes on, he speaks to the crowd again. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. I have it here. It's a mustard seed. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. which a man took and sowed in his field. Which indeed is the least of all the seeds, but when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. How powerful is that? Jesus, I love the way Jesus teaches. Well, it's not just the way he teaches, but what he teaches. He says, the kingdom of heaven, listen to this. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like a seed. A mustard seed, which is the smallest, the least of all the seeds. The kingdom, I want you to see this. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, the smallest, the most insignificant of all the seed that the man sows. And then it grows. It germinates and it grows. As insignificant as it began, it grows to become bigger than all the plants. It grows to become a tree where others find shelter into it. I mean, how powerful is that? The kingdom of heaven is like a seed, insignificant and small, yet it grows to become something. It becomes something. The seed of the kingdom is his word. It starts small and insignificant, but oh, when this word starts to grow in you and me. It starts small and insignificant. It's only a book, isn't it? No, it's not. When it starts to grow, as small as insignificant as it might start, maybe you only know John 3:16. But when it starts to grow in you, it will become something far greater. That's the kingdom. And the seed of the kingdom of God, as great as the kingdom of God will be, and as great as it is, it starts with the seed, which is his word. And it's that word that will grow to become something greater than anything. The question this morning is the kingdom growing in you? Well, words have been sown. Small and insignificant. Is it growing in you? Is the kingdom growing in you? Is the word growing in you? In Mark chapter 4, we read that after Jesus told this parable, his disciples came to him to ask him, what does this mean? And Jesus' response is so powerful, and he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? Do you not understand this one? If you cannot understand this one, how will you ever be able to understand all the other ones? This is the foundation. This is the basic. This is what everything is built on. Do you not understand this parable of the sower that sows the seed? Which is the word of God. And it grows. It grows. Not all of it does. No, it was sown everywhere. The seed was sown everywhere. And not all the seed produced the fruit that it was meant to. No, some fell among the wayside, and some fell among the stones, and some fell among the thorns. And 25%, only 25% of the seed sown actually produced fruit. Some of the seed didn't even germinate. Others grew. Others was received, and it was growing, but it didn't last. And others was choked to death, but some of it grew until it produced fruit. And it's the fruit that I'm after. It's not the seed. It's not even the receiving of it. It's not even the growing of it. It is the fruit. Do you not understand this? The seed of the kingdom is the word. It needs to grow. But more than growth, it needs to produce fruit. Here in verse 18, let's go back to that. Jesus tells this parable. It's so interesting to see. Everybody heard the word. See, it's not the hearing of the word that changes us. But that in this parable, everybody heard the word. But the word does not produce fruit in everybody. Small and insignificant. I wish I can give you all one. Well, I am this morning, am I not? Will it produce fruit in you? Will it produce fruit in me? Everybody hears the word, but the word does not produce fruit in everybody. The fruit is the application of it. It is the manifestation. It is the transformation. It is the Christ-likeness that develops within me, that develops in you. That is the fruit of the kingdom. The fruit of the kingdom is when the word is accepted and received and implanted in us, and it grows until it produces what it's meant to. It's to change us to become more like God, to become Christ-like in the way we think, in the way we do, in the way we speak, in the way we live. That is the purpose of the word. That is the kingdom of God. It's not this building. It's not the power. It's not the influence. It's the people that become more like Jesus. That's the kingdom of God. Some hear the word, but they do not understand it. Like the Jews and the Pharisees, they could not understand what Jesus was speaking about. They couldn't understand this teaching about the kingdom because they had a preconceived idea of how it's meant to be. They had a preconceived idea of what the kingdom should be like, what they would like it to be. So they couldn't understand the word of God because the word of God was different to their idea, their preconceived, their desire. It was different. And because it was different, they couldn't understand it because they had this preconceived idea of how it is. I've met so many Christians, and some have a preconceived idea how the kingdom of God should look like or work like or how God must be like. And they cannot understand the word. It can be as plain, as simple, as black on white. And they cannot understand it. And they'll give you 101 reasons why it is not this, but something else. They cannot understand it because they've got a preconceived idea of how the kingdom must be like and how God should be like. And when you present them the word, they cannot understand it because they are not coming in humility. They want it to be something else. And they don't understand it. Scripture can be so clear. I don't see it. And you know what? You can see that the word of God has no fruit in their lives. Then there are those who hear the word and they receive it initially with great joy, but it does not endure. It germinates, it grows, it even grows in them, but it doesn't come to fruit. It dies before the time. It doesn't endure, even though it starts off well. The moment tribulation and persecution come, they stumble and fall. And it's not the persecution of the Middle East and China what I'm talking about even. It's the persecution of within myself. It's the persecution of my peer group and my friends and my family. Because all of a sudden, I used to be part of the world and the ways of the world. And then Jesus presents me the kingdom. And I must make a decision. Who am I going to follow? Am I going to stay in this world or am I going to stay in the kingdom? And when I step out of the kingdom, the moment I step out of it, I'm in conflict with the world. And my friends look at me strange. They say, what's wrong with you? You used to drink with us, now you don't. You used to smoke, now you don't. You used to tell those jokes and laugh with us, and now you don't. What has changed? And it's this subtle persecution in us that I see so many Christians, when that starts, they fall back. The cost is too high. I don't want to lose my friends and my popularity and my I don't know. And I can see the fruit. There's no fruit. The word produces no fruit in him. And then there are those who hear the word, but the cares of this world and their pensions and living standards and their legacy and pride, even great men of God, it consumes them. Even the obvious in the word is no longer visible to them. Because the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches, oh, the deceitfulness of riches. Jesus says, those who want to get rich fall into a temptation and a trap. Those who want to get rich fall into a temptation and a trap. It's a trap. You know how many people I've met that if only they are rich, then they will. It's a trap. It's a trap. And into many foolish and harmful desires that people plunge into, and into ruin and destruction. Deceitfulness of riches. It's a trap. And then verse 23. There are those who hear it, who understand it, and produce fruit. I mean, that's it. It grows. It germinates. It's been received. And they embrace it for what it is. It is what it is. It says what it says. I'm going to receive it for what it is. I'm going to receive it for what God said it to be. And I'm not going to try and reinterpret it, fit my world, shape it into my perception. I'm going to change my perception. I'm going to change my world to fit this, not the other way around. And I'm going to apply this to my life. And then it starts to produce fruit. I change. How beautiful is that? That teachable and hearing heart with humility receiving it, and then the love, the trust, and the faith in God to apply it. When Jesus says something that is so different to this world, because I love Him, because I love Him, and because I trust Him, and because I have faith in Him, not because I have to, like the woman said, but because I love Him, and I trust Him, and I have faith in Him, I'm going to do this. And it's going to produce in me a change, difference, fruit. The seed that is received in the heart produces fruit. And that fruit is God's character and His ways. His character and His ways manifesting in and through me, in and through you. That is the fruit of the word. You know, so interesting. Jesus didn't just come to the earth to die for our sins. He came to the earth to establish the kingdom of God and to announce it, to teach it, and to recruit for it. That's why Jesus came. He said, I'm going to come into this world and I'm going to break its power. I'm going to break the power of darkness. I'm going to break the power of sin. And I'm going to establish the kingdom of God. And whosoever wants to come can come. And this is what the kingdom is like. You will see almost all Jesus' parables. It starts like this. The kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom of heaven is like. This is the kingdom of the world, the kingdom of darkness that you know so well. But let me tell you about my kingdom. It's different. It's different. This is what it's like. This is what it's like. You can move. And the only way is through me. The only way is through me. But let me tell you how it works, how it looks like. It's different to this world. And you can choose where you want to be. Are you going to be in the kingdom of the world or are you going to be in the kingdom of light? But if you want to move, this is how it works. It does not work the same. If you want to do the same things, you are still in the old kingdom. It's different, people. It's different. It doesn't work the same. You can't do business the same. You can't do family, you can't do relationship, you can't do anything the same again. It's different. You can read it. Jesus constantly says the kingdom of heaven is like. It's a change. Jesus came to occupy this kingdom of darkness with the kingdom of light. He came to put on his stake and says, the kingdom has come. This is what it is. Whosoever wants, come, join me. This is how it works. If you want to follow my ways, come to me. If you don't want to follow my ways, stay where you're at. But I've come to make you free so you don't have to. So whosoever wants to. But if you come into my kingdom, this is how it works. You can only enter it through me. And if you choose to have love, faith, and trust in me, I will empower you to change. My spirit in you will change you. But this is how it works. Are you in or you're out? In the midst of the kingdom of darkness in this world, he explains the kingdom of God. This is how my kingdom works. This is what it looks like. And this is how you move. It's through me. And when you do, when you decide to commit yourself to follow my ways, when you decide to commit yourself to follow my ways, my spirit will change you. And before you know it, you will do my ways. If you receive the seed with humility and you commit to apply it, then Christ will empower you through his spirit. And you know what? Fruit will come evident in your life. People will see. People will see how you change. And that fruit will produce in you 30, 60, and 100 fold. How awesome is that? As a matter of fact, this is how we know if somebody's in Christ. We look at the fruit. The Bible is full of that. This is how you know. This is how you know whether somebody's in the kingdom of light or whether somebody's in the kingdom of righteousness. He who practices righteousness is righteous. He who does not is not. He who sins there, he doesn't there. It's not how you enter. That's religion. Religion says you must do things to enter into the kingdom of God. No. No, you must have faith. And you must surrender your life to Jesus. You must invite him into your life and he will change you. But the works, the fruit, is the evidence of where you are. It's not how you enter into the kingdom. Your works, your fruit, is evidence that you are in it. Because Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. He says he knows me, hates his brother, is a liar. The love of the Father is not in him. He's a liar. Because if you're in me, you will love your brother and your sister. Simple. Fruit is not how we get into the kingdom. It is the evidence that we're in it. Because if you follow Jesus, you will do what he says. You will do like he does. And he will change you. If you're still living like the world, you should question whether you're saved. I'll say that again. If you live like the world, I should question whether you're saved. Because Jesus said, I've come to destroy sin and its works and darkness and all those things. Therefore, you shouldn't live in it. So if you're still there, you need to make a decision. Get out while you still can. Get out while you still can. Don't worry. There's far greater things in this side than in that side. There's far greater joy and peace. That's what I love about the kingdom. It starts so small and so insignificant. And then it grows. Like Tani Meg, like you inspire me, Tani Meg. That's why I come back on Sundays, because I can see the seed is growing in you. And it's bearing fruit. And in so many of your lives, I can see the seed is growing. And the fruit is coming. Oh, how great is that fruit when it comes? All of a sudden, you know, the seed grows, it germinates. You know, you sow it in faith. Hey man, there's farmers here. We all sow in faith, don't we? We sow that seed in faith. We don't know. There's nothing we can do to make it grow. We sow it in faith, and then with time we see this miracle happen. This miracle. We don't know how. We don't know how. Jesus tell a parable about that, doesn't he? But anyway, we'll get to that parable. We don't know how, but it germinates. And a leaf forms, and then we see how it grows, and we nurture it. That it grows until it is mature. And when it's mature, with great excitement, we wait to see the fruit form. And all of a sudden, there's a harvest. It's fascinating. You see the seed grow as the farmers sow in their fields, hier in die Swartland en hier in die Boland, wanneer die graan saai en jy sien dit groei. En net skielik, voordat jy jouself kan vind, is die oes ryp. All of a sudden it's there. 30, 60 and 100 fold. That's why I come back, because I can see the seed is growing in you. And I can see fruit in you. The question in the morning is it growing in you? I hope it's not just 25%. It starts small and insignificant, I know, and it challenges all our preconceived ideas and our desires of how we want it to be. But if in humility you accept it, it will grow. And when it does, it will become mature and produce fruit in you. Suddenly. Oh, suddenly. This morning, before we go on to the other parables, in our nation, in Bloemfontein, a couple of weeks ago, something happened. Seed was sown with great expectation. A million seed left that place and went all over this country. And we are all expectant. We're all expectant, and God has done something. It's not new seed, it's the same seed. We're expectant of the soil to be different. This morning, before we go on to the other parables, do you understand this parable? Do you understand this parable? Because you'll never understand the other ones without this one. It's not the seed that's the problem. It's good seed. It's the same seed. You know, you've heard this before, haven't you? I mean, you've heard countless sermons on the parable of the sower. It's insignificant and small, but that's how it begins. Is it growing in you? Do you understand it? It's important. You know why? Because soon I'll be sending you out. Soon I'll be sending you out into this world. Some of you like Elwins. Oh, maybe just a handful. But for most of you, I will send you out like sheep among the wolves in this dark world. The only thing that you will have is the seed. You need to believe in it. You need to have faith in it. And yes, you will sow it everywhere, and some of that seed will fall amongst the wayside, and some of that seed will fall among the thorns, and some of those seed will fall among the stony place. But you know what? Some of the seed that you're going to sow, it's going to fall on good seed, and suddenly you will find there's a harvest. But before I continue, do you understand this one? The seed of the kingdom is the word. Accept it, receive it, nourish it, cherish it, nurture it in you. Let it grow. Conform to it. Apply it. Become like it. And before you know it, there will be an awesome harvest. And it's not something you will do. It's something that God will do in you and through you. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank you for your word. Oh God, I love the way you do your kingdom. It's not the way of the world. It's so different. It's so small. It's so insignificant. And then it grows. It grows. And it seems so fragile. It seems so vulnerable. It seems so insignificant in this world. But it continues to grow. And all of a sudden, suddenly it's mature and there's a harvest. Your honor produces life. Everywhere there's life. God, I pray that your word will grow in us. God, we want to humble ourselves and we want to repent for trying to fit it into our world. Try to fit it into our lives. Lord, I pray that you will give us humble hearts to receive it for what it is. Different, hard, insignificant, small. But God, I thank you for every verse, every word. Like you say, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from my mouth. God, I want to pray, Lord, for every word that is received. I want to thank you, Father, that it will grow. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will rain on it. That you will rain on every seed received, Lord, every decision made to embrace it in love, in trust, and in faith. God, I thank you that you will make it grow. You will make it grow. You will bless that seed and it will grow and it will produce a harvest, Lord. And I pray that that harvest will not just be bread, but it will be more seed. And it will be sown everywhere, Lord. We will be like thy blommetjies with the soeblaas and his saadsoe en die wind. First pray, Lord, I pray that we'll all be like that. And the harder the wind blows, the more the seed will spread. That's how your gospel spread to all the world. When persecution came, the kingdom exploded. Lord, I pray that we will explode without persecution before it comes. So God, I pray for good soil and good hearts and seed to grow. Let it grow. Let it grow. Let it grow, Lord. Thank you for the power of your word. Small, insignificant. Lord, thank you for trees in this house. Thank you for trees. They look small now, but they will become trees. Lord, thank you that this church will become a forest. And there will be many other forests in this town. And the forests will grow to each other. They will grow bigger and bigger. And they will grow towards each other. Not against each other. Not competing for space. But celebrating the fact that it's getting smaller in here. We are getting more and more people saved. There's only a few unsaved people left. Who's going to get them? Let us not fight over the flowers and the trees that is there, but let us fight over those who still need to be saved. Let this forest grow, Lord. Let it grow until there's no more space left for anything else but the forest. We thank you for this. We bless you for this in Jesus' name. If you're here this morning and you need to give your life to Jesus, I'm going to be here at the end. Love to pray with you for the rest of us. Thank you for coming. I trust you have received and you understand this parable now so that we can go on to the other ones. I really want to teach the other ones also. May God bless you. Have some coffee and tea. We need volunteers for Kiddies Church. If we don't get enough volunteers, I might have to volunteer. I'm not joking. One Sunday, we'll have worship. And if I'm not here, you know where to find me. Once a month, male or female can volunteer, invest, go sow your seed. It's not better soil than virgin soil, fresh soil. You know, when you're a farmer, and you buy a field that has never been sown on, it's the best soil. Go sow your seed in those children. It's good soil, guaranteed. And you'll see a harvest. And you'll share in the joy of it. That's my plug for Kiddies Church. Have some coffee and you have to stop. Otherwise, I'm going to keep on preaching. If you need prayer, we're going to be here. May you have an awesome week. God bless you.
Thanks for listening to this message. We hope you enjoyed this moment with us. For more information, visit shofaronline.org.